This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman.
Did you hear that, Drew?
Sports Voice, KMOX.
Oh, excuse me. It's a new open with, so I got to make sure I jump in there correctly, and with the Nolan Arenado highlight in there. Appropriate because Arenado is officially back. He reported to camp. I mean, he's under contract. It's not like he was going to hold out. There aren't any holdouts in Major League Baseball. But he has not been traded. He is back with the club, and we're going to hear immediately from Arenado right now. We're also going to hear from John Mozeliak and Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, and their reaction to Arenado being back. He was not dealt. He was actually, you know, talked about off and on for quite a while, and he acknowledged that in his visit with the media.
Hello. How you doing?
Here he is talking to reporters.
How's it going?
Good
to see you guys too.
Nolan Arenado in Jupiter.
What has this process been like for you? It's been the talk of St. Louis. Obviously, they're looking for a place, and as you're the guy at Impacts, kind of weeding through it, what's it been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot going on this offseason, and you know, there was, you know, a lot of truths out there. There was some lies out there. I try not to get caught up into it too much. You know, I really focus on just getting ready for the season, and that's about it. You know, there was a lot of things going on. You know, there was always a possibility of me getting traded, and there was a possibility of me coming back, and I'm back, and I'm ready to go play ball.
What are your feelings about being back? Talking to your teammates, they seem pretty happy about it.
Yeah, obviously excited to see the boys, you know. And, you know, I love seeing some of these guys. I haven't seen them in a while. And it feels good to be in Florida again. And East Coast time's kind of throwing me off a little bit. But besides that, it feels good. I'm excited to get to work. You know, I'm a ball player. And I'm really focusing on getting ready for the season. And that's it.
You know, and obviously it's an awkward topic, but the idea of the Cardinals resetting or transitioning doesn't also sound like a team that's going all in to win the World Series, which is something I know you truly want. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cardinals are doing, you know, I wish the direction was all in, of course, but is this what's probably best for the Cardinals? Probably. I think they do need to reshape some things here and do some things, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm a ball player, I'm a Cardinal until I'm told I'm not, you know what I mean? And that's all there is to it, and I got a lot of work to do. I got to be a better ball player, and that's what I'm focused on.
Nolan, how would you like to see this kind of play out? Noah's left it open-ended that he could continue talking to teams throughout spring, throughout the season.
Yeah.
That's obviously, you're going to have a big say in that.
Yeah.
How do you want this to play out?
Yeah, like I said, I think, you know, that's Mo's job to do that. My job is to get ready, and that's truly all I could really say. I'm really focused on being a better baseball player than I was last year. I mean, there's no excuse for it. If I was a better player last year, you know, maybe things would be a little bit different. So I'm really focused on that. I feel good, you know. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but my body feels ready to go, so I'm excited about that.
If you're to use your phrase, if you're a better ball player this year, is this team...
This is Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch with the question.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm a better ball player, or if I'm me, you know, I think I just make any team better, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah, and if I'm here, I'm going to give everything I got, and I can make this team better for sure.
Nolan, the conversation reached you in the fall. What was your reaction to it initially? You know, we hear from Mo that it's a lot about, okay, Nolan is at this place in his career, Nolan wants to do this and that. What did you want?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, the Cardinals told me about the direction they were going. We asked them, then I asked them to explore some things. Nothing was demanded, and that was something they were interested in doing also. And that was it, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, I didn't, you know, did I sit here in the offseason and think I wasn't coming back? No, I knew there was always a chance of me coming back, so I'm prepared to be here.
The conversation with Mo the other day, he was pretty informed that there was a list of five teams that you were pretty comfortable with. Is that, would you agree with that? You would say that's where you were too?
Yeah, I was somewhere right around there. I'm not going to talk about who the teams were because it doesn't really matter anymore. But yeah, there was about five teams, you know, five or so.
Said you're staying with Cardinal until you're told otherwise. After months of uncertainty and not knowing where you're going to go, how's it going to be like being with Jess to be here, and where's your overall mindset about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing about this place, I'm very comfortable. I know it, that's going to help me get ready for the season. I'm in the right place. I feel ready. I feel I have a lot to prove. I'm very excited to take the field and flying over here, I had a lot to think about on that flight. Once I landed, I was like, all right, it's time to just get ready for the season and focus and do everything I can to back to playing me.
What things were you working on to get back to being you?
I mean, everything. Explosion. I was in the weight room a lot more. Lost weight. I got after it. I did what I felt was the right thing for me. I'm hopeful that it comes into fruition pretty quickly here in spring training. You know, my plan is to play a lot of games in spring training and just be ready to go opening day.
Nolan, when you thought of other teams you might go to, did you compare each of them against the circumstance and comfort you had here? Is that...
No, not really. I didn't really think about it like that. I just thought, you know, I got a family now, and to be willing to pick up my family and move them, you know, it has to be something that is worth it, you know? So that's kind of why the list was fairly small. I don't see myself really changing that list ever because, like I said, I got a family now and I don't feel like moving them everywhere just to move them everywhere.
Can you share what that mental process was like while you were flying, what you think through?
Yeah, just about where my mind needs to be now. And I don't really have a whole lot to say other than that. I got to go out and play ball and be me. Last year was not what I want the Cardinal fans to know me as. So I see this as an opportunity to kind of change that script.
Well, how do you view it with a team that won 83 games last year, largely a lot of the same guys back? What do you make of the opportunity potentially to do some damage this year as a team?
Yeah, I think obviously we just got to score some runs. I think offensively we really struggled, and obviously I was a huge part of that problem. And my goal is to get back to driving in runs and playing great defense and just, like I said, just being me again.
A couple of days ago, Mo said that there might be some awkwardness in the camp when you got here between management and you. Have you spoken with him yesterday, and was there any of that?
Yeah, I had a meeting already, had a few meetings already. I'm a ball player. I'm ready to work. You know, it's not awkward for my teammates and my coaches. And to be honest with you, it's not really awkward with the front office. They have a job to do, and I have a job to do, and that's just, I mean, that's the best way I could really put it.
No one, I know Derek asked you about it. Take the ambiguity out of it. If Mo comes to you in a month or 2 months or 4 months and says, I have a deal now, are you open to that, or are you, let's play the season?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I try not to, you know, I don't even want to think that far ahead, to be quite honest with you, just because we're 5 months removed from last season and it didn't happen. So my mind is on getting ready and playing good baseball. You know, I can't focus on things that I can't control right now. So, you know, that's where I'm at.
Thanks, Nolan. Thanks for having me watching the tape.
Good.
All right, there is Nolan Arenado with reporters just a little while ago in Jupiter, Florida. Matt Pauly providing that audio, and he's going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Sports on a Sunday morning. Check that off his list. He has visited with reporters and addressed the off-season trade talks. Just to recap, they did talk to teams. He was open to it, but he didn't go into the off-season thinking he wasn't going to be a Cardinal, knew there was going to be a chance to come back. And you heard the theme throughout. He wants to be himself. I want to get back to being me. I'm a ball player. You know, Nolan Arenado is going to play all out and prepare all out And sometimes I think it really weighs on him because he's such a great competitor, but he's going to do that whether he's a member of the Cardinals or the Red Sox or the Astros, although he rejected the trade, or the Savannah Bananas or whoever. Although he'd probably have to learn a dance number with the Savannah Bananas. But anyway, you get my drift. You get my point. He is trying to be, that is who he is. He's just a guy that wants to be great. And I really don't know how much this is going to affect him in that process of trying to be great. Now, whether he's a Cardinal at the end of the year or whatever, it's probably in his best interest not to let that get into his head. So he says all the right things there. We'll see how that affects the club. We're going to go to Matt Pauly next. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be with you. This spring training report is sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Growing Gardens and Making Memories, and by Norm's Bargain Barn and Wilkie Window and Door. And we're joined live in Jupiter, Florida by Matt Pauly. Thanks for your patience through the break. Matt, how are you?
I am good. Good morning. Good to be on with you.
It's always great to be with you. So, yeah, big news today. Nolan Arenado showed up early this morning, Starbucks in hand. A nice photo by Christian Gooden of the Post-Dispatch to get us rolling this morning. And he embraces Oliver Marmol, the Cardinals skipper. And we just played the audio that you sent. We appreciate that. What did you gather out of today? And while you're answering that, tell us the reaction, if you would. Kind of summarize what John Mozeliak and Ollie Marmol said.
Yeah, so all three individuals did talk this morning. So Nolan got here. He had one-on-one meetings with Mo and with Ollie. Ollie talked a lot about how great the meeting was, how wonderful he thought that Arenado's mindset was, and I think Arenado in that audio you played kind of talked about that a little bit. You know, there was a narrative last week about, is there going to be awkwardness with him being part of this club after they had publicly put him in the trade market? I don't think there's any of that whatsoever. Everybody is embracing him. Mo openly stated that they feel like the team is going to be better with him than without him. I know fans are going to then ask the question, well, then why were they ever going to trade him in the first place? They are going through this transitional period where they did want to give some younger players more of an opportunity. Having Arenado around absolutely is going to put a little bit of a roadblock to some of those things that they would have liked to have done. But now that he's here, the focus has very much shifted to, this guy can help the St. Louis Cardinals win baseball games.
Well, it was Mozeliak himself who said there would be an awkward moment and then they would all move on because they're grown-ups, and I think people just took the word awkward and ran with it. You heard it in the audio session there. The word awkwardness came out of Benjamin Hockman's mouth after he wrote a column that said, "Welcome to Awkward City." I mean, it was, you know, a lot of it was talked about, but this is baseball we're talking about. And once that initial, like, oh, hey, buddy, you know, and all that stuff was talked about, of course they put their suitcase down when a player walks in, they unpack and they go play ball. And the guy's a player. I mean, I understand his swing is slower. He chased some pitches that he shouldn't have chased. He's dealt with some back issues, but he is still a competitor and actually still somewhat young. This isn't a guy who's about to retire. I mean, I think that with the right training in the offseason, sounds like he dropped some LBs, and looking at him, he looks like he's has dropped a few LBs. He'll pack on some weight during the season, but it's a pretty darn good player to add to your team, I would say.
Yeah, physically, he definitely looks trimmed down. His offseason was spent in the weight room. It was also spent doing some things like, you know, kickboxing and some other martial arts type things with the idea that that's going to help him with his bat speed, actually. So the numbers are out there, and the bat speed numbers were not great this past year. So he went into an offseason and said, you know, what can he do to increase bat speed? And by increasing bat speed, then he's going to be able to turn on the ball. He's going to be pulling the ball more. He's going to have more power, doubles, home runs, so on and so forth. So that was the focus of his offseason. And now he gets to start. You know, we're now less than a week away from the first Grapefruit League game. He said he expects to play a lot of games this year in spring. So we'll start to see in less than a week whether or not those changes he tried to make in the offseason are going to bear fruit here going into the season.
I think he's going to have a really good year. I think he will have a very good year. He's got a lot of pride. He's a battler, and he is going to have a good year as long as he stays healthy. Now, let's address the second elephant in the room now that we've had Arenado arrive at camp, and that is Nolan Gorman. Where does Gorman play? How does he get these 500 at-bats that they seek? I've been drawing up lineups, Matt, all morning long to try to play around with it. Here's one lineup that I came up with Gorman in it. Wynn, Donovan in left, Contreras, Burleson at cleanup, DH, Arenado, third base, batting fifth, Nootbaar in center field, batting sixth, Walker in right, seventh, Gorman batting eighth, playing second base, and Herrera catching. Now, there's some really good bats in that lineup right there, I must say for myself. But I'm realistic, and I know that center field is probably not going to be Nootbaar. It's going to be Ciani or Scott. So I'll give you two others that I drew up real quick. Here's another one. Wynn, Donovan, Contreras, Burleson, Arenado, Nootbaar. Nootbaar in left. Walker, Herrera, Scott. So I did not have Gorman in that lineup. I've got Donovan at second base. I don't know. It's interesting. How do you see Gorman getting what he needs now that they – and how do you see the rest of the lineup for that matter?
Yeah, so first off, let me be on the record that I think the first lineup that you mentioned is the lineup that's going to score the most amount of runs for the Cardinals this season, and I am hopeful that some version of that lineup is what we see more often than not. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, but that's the lineup that I like. They are going to play – Gorman's going to be splitting time between second and DH, and then I think he's going to play third on the days that Arenado has off or the days that Arenado goes to the DH. They are going to play Gorman a lot at third during spring. John Mozeliak made that very, very clear earlier today. They still want Gorman to get time at third. So if there's an opportunity to put Gorman in the lineup at third, he's going to be there. If not, he's going to be the second baseman or the DH. And nothing has changed in terms of them trying to get him those 500 to 600 plate appearances. That is still one of the number one goals of this season for the Cardinals. And it's when Ollie was asked about it this morning, he said, look, you know, Gorman's superpower, the thing that that's going to push him is his power. So as much as they want him to be a well-rounded player, as much as they want him to improve from a defensive standpoint, for Gorman this season, it's about being in the lineup. And whether it's second, third, or DH, they're going to make sure that he's in the lineup just about every day.
What else have you learned from spring training today? What are we looking at in terms of workouts? And let's switch over to pitching. How's the depth there?
Yeah, so today is kind of the actual pitchers that are throwing today. There's just a handful of them. Most of them are kind of guys who have been either in the minor leagues or, you know, like a Nick Anderson is throwing today. He's a non-roster invitee. Tinkens, Quinn Matthews, some of the top prospects are throwing today. But the guys who are guaranteed of big league jobs, they essentially are off today or throwing side sessions. Sonny Gray and Andre Pallante are going to throw on the side today. Things are going to really pick up tomorrow when it comes to the first full squad workout. And that's when we're going to start having a lot more fun out here. And these live BP sessions are going to include a lot more hitters. From a pitching standpoint, they continue to want to stretch out as many guys as possible. And then if those guys are going to be earmarked for the bullpen, they'll transition as spring training goes along. That's been talked a lot about with Matthew Liberatore. He is going to be stretched out. He's going to start in spring. And then Ali said the other day, unless it hits the fan, he'll head to the bullpen. So later on in spring, they'll transition him to that. Probably same thing with Kyle Leahy. They are stretching him out as a starter. He'll get some time as a starter in Grapefruit League play, but I don't think we're really looking at him as a guy that the Cardinals are going to put into the rotation, so at some point he'll be kind of slowed down as well.
Appreciate the time very much. Thank you for the report from Jupiter, Florida. Good stuff this morning as Nolan Arenado arrives at camp with full squad workouts beginning tomorrow. Matt Pauley, have a great one.
All right, thanks.
We have some big stuff coming. Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens at 10:30. Kenny Wallace on the Daytona 500 at 10:45. Lutz Pfannenstiel in studio at 11:05. John Mozeliak at 11:30. And then Bernie Miklas will wrap it all up for us at 11:45. Big show, sports on a Sunday morning. A lot more to come. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman.
We are
America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Oh, that thing's going to catch me every time, Drew. The new rejoiner with the pause, but it is solid as can be. I'll tell you that. We're joined by the Billikens coach, Josh Schertz, who I'll bet you could host radio all day long. He's terrific. How are you, coach?
How's it going? How's it going? Maybe a second career.
Yeah, that was like worked out. That was like my equivalent of a lane violation right there. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a money time mistake. Now listen, it's got to adjust. You know, I mean, these are change is hard.
Yeah, no doubt. Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri, and Coach Schertz is with us. Coach, I'll paint a picture for you. I was in Oxford, Ohio yesterday. Friday night, I was there, brought my daughter there. She has breaking news here. She has chosen Miami of Ohio as her college choice.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. Excited about that. What a great school it is. Great sports tradition. Yeah. Anyway, I was at a sports bar, and I had Indiana UCLA on one TV. I had SLU Loyola on the other. I was in absolute heaven. I mean, what a great night. Eating food and having a cold one. Had my daughter across from me and enjoying myself. As it turned out, you know, college basketball is hard, and we love it, but it is an exhilarating ride and sometimes very painful. Both my teams, Indiana and SLU, ended up losing. It's a tough sport. I have to imagine one hand sitting there with a French dip and a beer, on the other being the coach of a basketball team. I just don't know how you all do it. I mean, going from exhilaration to watching that thing slip away has to be tough, and having to process that and turn the page on that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After that.
Yeah, you had a much better night than me, it sounds like. Been to Oxford. We played down there when I was in Indiana State. Awesome campus, amazing school. Your daughter obviously must have got brains from her mother to get in there. That's pretty hard academic school to get into. So I know she didn't get that from you. So
that's
no
right.
Chance,
you but, got that right, buddy.
Yeah, she's that. Congratulations on that. No, it was, it was. It's a hard sport. And the reason that, losing is so painful. I mean, everything is always, you know, two sides of a coin. Winning only feels so good because losing feels so bad. You know, if losing didn't hurt as much as it does, winning wouldn't be as exhilarating as it is. And, I think as a coach and hopefully as a player, that's why we try to stay so focused on process and the process of what it takes to be good and not, ride the emotional roller coaster. I think there's a big difference between, a competitor's mindset and an observer's mindset and fans and media and everybody around. I do that as a fan of other teams. You know, you ride the emotional roller coaster, exhilarated when you win, disappointed when you lose, and you're up and down. I think when you're coaching or playing, you can't do that. You got to stay locked into your process, and that allows you to, kind of keep steady when you're going through good times and when you're struggling like we are now, and not to overreact to successes, not to overreact to failures. The reality is, all you can do when you're winning, or in our case, I've dropped a couple in a row, is get in. Get to work, try to get better, prepare as well as you possibly can, and to play as well as you can in your next opportunity. And, it was a disappointing loss Friday night for a variety of reasons. It was a tough week. I mean, the George Mason game at home in overtime, where we had every chance to win. Loyola on the road led that game with 4 minutes to play, and obviously really poor stretch there in money time to close a game out on the road against an excellent team. And a disappointing week for us in terms of being able to beat two really good teams and had every opportunity to do it and weren't able to get the job done. And we all own that.
What do you see in the film of the Loyola game? And it's not easy to watch, but obviously you watched the end. How did that slip away?
There's never one thing. It's always a variety of things. We had chances in the game. Obviously the end of any game is magnified because there's no time to recover from it, right? Like, a 16-4 run to end that game, if that happens in the first half, it still stinks, but you have plenty of time to recover and get back. When it happens in the final 4 minutes of the game, obviously unrecoverable in our situation. But we had chances. We held them, I think, 7 minutes out of field goal in the first half, and we're down, 13-6 at that point, and we were only able to score 12 points in that window. We had a couple layups, a couple wide open threes in that stretch to extend our lead. We weren't able to do it. Same thing kind of happened in the second half. I think we got up, 53-46 maybe, and had a couple of, we had four, we would call, wide open threes in that stretch to kind of create some more separation, miss those. Those are, things, those are shooting variances. Those happen every game. You're generating good ones. You want to continue to do that. When you look at the, the final 4 minutes, Robbie hits that three, to go up 65-62. They come down and we foul a three-point shooter. I didn't obviously see what happened because, their backs were to me, my angle, but we got called for a foul there on a three-point shot, ties the game. We come down, ball gets knocked out of bounds. We run out of bounds and, got a pretty good look, a layup or a short shot. We just short armed it. They came down and we had a defensive breakdown. We went underneath on Sheldon Edwards on a pitch and, he bangs a three, to put them up three. We come down, get fouled, have a 1-on-1. We missed the front end of a 1-on-1 and then we have another defensive breakdown off a baseline screen. We're late, coming through. We take a bad route. We don't switch it out, which we could have. He makes another three. We turn it over, and next session, and they get a dunk, and it's 11-0. That was, in those, we call them money time, moment of truth, whatever you want to call it, their final 4 minutes. We had a number of mental errors, the defensive stuff. The offensive stuff, hey, everybody misses shots. That's not, you've got to just get great shots. You can't turn the ball over. I thought, in that stretch, obviously the got a short shot and a foul. We did okay offensively. It was the defensive end, the breakdowns in that end, and you got to close games with stops, whatever the scenario is. And we had a number of mental errors there in the final 4 minutes on the defensive end, and that's ultimately what cost us.
And you losing the game to George Mason, which I was in attendance for, after this, before Avila had his great game against Loyola, 19 points, 13 rebounds. He had a monster game against George Mason. That was one that got away from you. You had a chance to win it. And on one hand, you could look at it as a missed opportunity against the number one team in the league, but I kind of like what you said afterwards, where you spun it to say, look, we can compete with anybody in this league now. Not that we didn't know that before, but now we do. So the A-10 tournament is coming. And can we win that tournament? Yes, we can. We're going to have to play better. But you do now know VCU, Dayton, George Mason, not to leave anybody out, but they're all teams that you can compete against and beat.
Yeah, you look at the top four in the league right now. It's Mason, VCU, Dayton, and Loyola. We've played all those teams. We're going to play three of the four of them twice. And we know. We played Mason OT. We split with VCU. Dayton was a 2-point game late. And so I don't think the chasm is like some sort of bridge that we can't build. We can't cover, and bridge. I do think we can bridge that gap. But we got to get better and we've got to play better. And just importantly, we've got to do a better job of making people play poorly. I think so much of people look at winning as how you play, but you know, half of winning is making the opponent not play well. And, you know, if you look at, you know, four of our last five games, I mean, we're still, you know, number one in the league, you know, after as of today, and, you know, in three-point defense. But, you know, our three-point defense and some of that shooting variance, you know, I mean, that is a part of the game. But, you know, we gave up double-digit made threes to St. Joe's, Dayton, and as well as, you know, these last two with Mason and Loyola. And you got to credit Loyola, like I said, down the stretch, you know, their shot-making. And the same thing with George Mason. You know, I mean, what they were able to do, made whatever 15 threes. I mean, some of that is, and we've had games where it's gone the other way. You know, where we've maybe been the beneficiary of some of that. But, you know, it's we got to be better. And but it is a gap that we don't think that there's a team in this league that we can't beat. I think two things can always be true. You know, we're shorthanded in terms of roster, but we certainly have enough to win any game we play, and we believe we can win any game we play, and we're showing that. I mean, again, you know, up to the first 36 minutes at Loyola, I thought we played pretty good basketball. You know, we had, you know, at that point, I think we had 10 turnovers. I think we were, you know, against a good defense at 65 points with 4 minutes of play. Same thing with George Mason. You know, we scored 70 points in regulation. I thought our overtime offense there really let us down. I thought our defense was pretty good. Had one breakdown, which they made the three there by Maddox, but where we were a little late to close out. But, you know, in terms of that game as our offense, the game as our defense, we just got to be better at the end, because in this league, I do think the margins are very small. It's not like there's this, you know, we're getting beat 25 or not competing. Like, the games are going to come down to that final 3-4 minutes. Our ability to execute in those moments of truth when pressure's at its highest on both ends of the floor is where we got to make the biggest strides if we're going to have a chance to kind of get over the hump.
Saturday the 22nd, three teams are going to be playing in the city. You've got City playing on Saturday night. The Blues will be playing right before that Saturday evening. And at 1:30, SLU will tip. I would strongly recommend you get in there, get that going before you head to the other contests and see the Billikens take on Rhode Island for a 1:30 tip. Should be a good one against Rhodey. And we always appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much for the time this morning.
Appreciate it, Tom. I'll talk to you soon. Congrats to your daughter, and look forward to seeing you this week.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. There's Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens, with us on KMOX. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. Kenny Wallace on the Daytona 500. He's been down checking things out. Back in a moment.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, we'll connect with Kenny Wallace in just a moment. Wallace and this Cardinals discussion with Nolan Arenado, plus a discussion about college basketball, plus, I mean, hockey. Did you see the hockey game last night? What an unbelievable matchup that was last night between the USA and Canada. They ended up having fights the first 9 seconds of the game, fights with Matthew Tkachuk fighting, and then Brady Tkachuk fought, both Canadian opponents, and then Colton Parayko, the Blues defenseman, got in it with the U.S. He plays for Canada. That was just awesome. What a great spark for the sport of hockey that got spread all throughout social media, I'm sure, and hopefully tapped into some of the mainstream media, which likes to focus on the NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball. Hockey hopefully got its due a little bit, and maybe that can bleed over a little bit into the NHL season. But the pride of USA hockey coming in there with some, not only fists, but some big hits. They're a big, strong team. The more skilled team, I think, is Canada. But U.S. got it done. 3-1, they win the game, and now they set up a championship match, possibly against Canada, in Boston, TD Garden on Thursday. So they've already clinched a spot in the championship game. College basketball yesterday, Missouri with a win. They beat Georgia. The Tigers continue to look good after dropping those two games last week to Tennessee and to Texas A&M. They came roaring back the following week. This Missouri team, I'm telling you, is going to be a very tough out, both in the NCAA tournament and in the SEC tournament. I mean, they could go far in both of them. They win 87-74 at Georgia. A couple days before that, they killed Oklahoma, 82-58 at Mizzou Arena. This Missouri team is the real deal. They play Alabama on Wednesday at Mizzou Arena. I hope that place is packed for one of the best teams in the country. Illinois lost to Michigan State. That final score was 79-65. That's not a good loss for them. Michigan State is a great team, but I don't know how you missed your last 18 shots of the game. That is bizarre. Also, did you see, Drew, what they did? I know Kenny Wallace is waiting. Kenny, how about this? I felt bad for him. Terrence Shannon got his jersey retired at halftime, and they unveiled it up on in the rafters, and it was upside down. I mean,
you know what? How's the old saying? All's well that ends well. We know he's great, and you know that wasn't on him.
Yeah,
probably a little embarrassed. That's more on the arena. But I've seen this happen before, and you know what? He'll become more popular because of that.
You know, it's a good point. How you doing, buddy? I'm so excited for the Daytona 500. I love this kickoff to the NASCAR season. I know they already have done some things in NASCAR, but this truly is the Super Bowl of stock car racing, motorsports, and NASCAR.
Yeah, today is the 67th running of the Daytona 500. Pre-race activities have already started. You know, the race will be on Fox Channel 2. The president of the United States, Donald Trump, he's going to be there. They've got security tight. It's sold out, 100,000 people. And it's just a really exciting time for St. Louis, Missouri, because, you know, you've had, you know, Rusty Wallace, Kenny Schrader, Jamie McMurray, Carl Edwards, of course, Mike Wallace, myself, Kenny. You know, St. Louis is full of NASCAR tradition. And, of course, you know, in September, we will have the NASCAR playoffs right here in St. Louis at Worldwide Technology Raceway. So today is a really big day, not just for the Daytona 500 and racing across America, but for St. Louis.
It is. I never know who's going to win this thing. I mean, you could sit here and we talk about favorites all day long, and then it seems like every so often an unsung driver comes up and grabs it.
Yeah, it really is. It is. It has turned into a race that you don't know who's going to win, and here's why. Years ago, we used to be able to craft these race cars, and we used to be able to cheat them up a little bit. You know, it would make it through tech, but everybody had something that nobody else had. You know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., his car had a little special motor in it. The rear end was a little different. So, you know, the Earnhardts and the Petties, they ruled. But that's because they were good drivers, but they had better cars. Now, you're exactly right. Nowadays, NASCAR has created this new car called the Next Gen. And this car, everybody's got the same race car. Now, it comes down to the great teams being able to tune the cars a little bit. And, you know, you never know. We've seen a lot of surprise winners. And people say to me, Kenny Wallace, who's going to win the Daytona 500? I say, go down to the casino and go on the roulette table. You know, there's really 37 numbers because you got 36 numbers on the roulette. But then you got, you know, two, the zero and the double zero. That's 38. That's close enough. And it's going to be exciting. That's why we're all going to be watching today.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. I think that it is a spectacle also because of the fans, because of the venue, because of the history. What do you feel when you're there, Kenny? Describe that for those who have not been to a Daytona 500.
You know, listen, I'm a St. Louis guy. It's no different, you know, than opening day when those, you know, Budweiser Clydesdales, you start getting goosebumps when those horses come into the Busch Stadium and then they start playing the history of our 11-time world champion St. Louis Cardinals. It is the same thing, Tom. You start getting goosebumps. You start getting emotional. You start thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to cry. You know, and that's what I feel every year. You know, I've been in – I attempted 15 Daytona 500s, and I raced in 10 of them. But, you know, it's like people that love the Cardinals, people that love the Blues, our soccer team, City St. Louis. You know, I mean, whatever you love, that's what you're into, right? That's the greatest sport of all time. Well, that's the way I am. You know, I'm a St. Louis boy, and we grew up racing here in this area, and I love racing. I love NASCAR because it was my whole life. So just take that feeling of, and the year before we won the World Series, let's say that. But, you know, you win the World Series, it's opening day at Busch Stadium, those Budweiser Clydesdales come in, that's what it feels like.
I love that connection, and I feel that through the TV when I watch it, you know. And I know that St. Louis is building towards something very special here. We've now seen the Enjoy Illinois 300 three times. This is a little bit different now. We have a playoff race lined up in September. Can you explain to listeners why that ramps things up even more in terms of NASCAR and the viewing audience?
Yeah, well, what happened was St. Louis stepped up to the plate, and Curtis Francois, the owner, Chris Blair, the general manager, they did better than any racetrack in America. Can you believe that? Right here in St. Louis, they did a better job than anybody, and NASCAR recognized it, and they said, oh my gosh, the fans turn out in St. Louis. It's the home of Enterprise Rent-A-Car, you know, Anheuser-Busch, Ralston Purina, McDonald Douglas. St. Louis is just like Joe Buck said, it's a small, big town. And NASCAR noticed that. So NASCAR said, we're going to put one of the 10 races in the playoffs at St. Louis. So this year, 2025, in September, not June this year, in September, we are going to have one of the playoff races here because St. Louis showed up and showed out. And NASCAR and, you know, TV, they're like, wow, what's going on in St. Louis? And, you know, this is an underground racing town. You know, you got Tri-City Speedway, Granite City, Illinois. You got, you know, Federated Auto Parts Raceway, Highland Speedway. You got Brownstown, Illinois. And now, you know, we hear, we read that Belleville is going to build a new racetrack. They got $20 million, plenty of money to do that. So, you know, we've always been an underground soccer town, right? I mean, underground meaning it's not in the big world, but well, we got soccer out the butt here. So the same thing with racing. It's an underground racing town. And NASCAR realized that. So September, everybody show up. It's going to be a big, big weekend for one of the playoff races.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm looking forward to everything that you're doing on a daily basis. I love getting up. I'm up before you doing the show, but then I look and I'll scroll social media. I'll see you having your coffee talk, sipping your coffee. Kenny Wallace has a great heart for not only racing, but for its fans. And even though you play around with them sometimes, you engage the fans. You love them and racing and the people in it. And I just love the fact that you put your heart and soul into this engagement. You're on YouTube, you're driving, you're still racing. It's pretty special. So congratulations on all that you've accomplished, Kenny, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, Tom, I appreciate it. I have the unique ability, kind of like Adam Wainwright, I'm fun and I win, but yet I'm able to, you know, communicate with the fans, and that's something that I pride myself in. Winning is very important to me. I win a lot, and I'm still jumping on, you know, and we got the Kenny Wallace YouTube show with Charlie Marlowe, and, you know, we'll have a live update on YouTube tonight. As soon as the checkered flag falls, everybody tune in to the Kenny Wallace YouTube show. We'll be live. We'll answer your questions, and I appreciate it. I really enjoy it.
Appreciate you. Kenny Wallace with us on KMOX.